Thank you for the privilege of being in this place on this hour. It feels a little unusual to be up in this pulpit because it's been a long time since I've been in this pulpit, even though I had the privilege of preaching from this pulpit a number of times. Before I do my message or deliver my message, let me offer some words to you very quickly. Thank you for all the members who touched my life as I served as Dr. Nelson's associate for 2.5 years. Many of them have gone on to glory, but they touched my life in a very special way. Thank you for the 42 members, Doug, that we took out of the membership here to begin the Brookwood Baptist Church, and we had 6 people who joined the church on our first Sunday. Thank you for your gifts, mainly monetary, but you bought 10 acres of property for us to build the Brookwood Baptist Church, and we built 3 buildings, about $14 million, and grew a wonderful congregation there, and we thank you for your helping to make that happen. Thank you for your prayers to undergird us. I thank Dr. Dortch for the gracious invitation to preach, Doug. When he called me, it was in July of last year. And I said, well, Doug, if I haven't gone home to glory, I'll be there to preach. And I'm here. And I also said, if you haven't gone home to glory, and he's here, and we're both glad to be here. I want to tell you very quickly that when I came to interview with Dr. Nelson at Mountain Brook, this building program was underway at that point, very early stages. But I went to Dr. Nelson's study office after I'd been through a weekend here, Ruth and I had, and he said, I want to talk with you, Bryant. And I said, fine. He said, we want you to come and help us at Brookwood. I mean, at Mountain Brook. Excuse me, I'll probably do that again. And I said, well, Dr. Nelson, I'd like to do that. And he said, well, we want you to come and help us. I said, I guess you'll give me a job description. He said, I will, but he said, you're going to be here mainly to do anything I don't want to do. Absolute categorical truth. And then he said to me, you won't be worth anything to us for at least 3 months. It'll take you that long to get to know all the people. Exactly what he said. Dot was not a person who minced words, Doug, as you well know. Very direct. I tell you that to let you know that 2 weeks after Ruth and I arrived here, Dr. Dotson Nelson had a major heart attack. And I was worth a lot to them for the next bunch of weeks. But I thank you for all that you have meant to the Brookwood Baptist Church, to me personally. Let's bow as we pray together. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this marvelous church, for its commitment to missions to reach outside of itself to share the gospel. And we pray that you'll continue to bless them as they do that. We thank you for this congregation. We thank you for the Brookwood congregation and for all who are part of that and have been a part of it in years past. We thank you for your marvelous grace that exceeds our sin and our guilt. And we focus now upon that grace. In the strong name of Christ, we pray. Amen. Paul writes in Ephesians, and he says very simply, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any person should boast. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Living in God's grace. For 23 years, I was the pastor of a great man who lived in the Birmingham area, he and his wife, Marge. John and Marge Pittman, great people, came to join our church very early on after we began, and we put them to work. But John loved to golf, and he was a great golfer. And he invited me to go with him up to the mountains between Cashers and Highlands, where they had a nice cabin. And we went to Wildcat Cliffs to play golf. Now, Mr. Pittman, John Pittman, was a great golfer. Bryant Strain was a duffer. So we got to the course, nobody around much. There on Tuesday morning, not a big crowd of people. We warmed up a little bit, and John said, "Bryant, let's go ahead to the tee." I said, "Well, you lead the way for us." He said, "No, you go ahead." I said, "No, you lead the way. Give me a good example." And John teed it up, and sure enough, he gave me a good example. Split the fairway, just right down the middle. I got up and sliced it way over into the rhododendrons, way off of the first tee. I looked at John. I said, "John, may I have a mulligan?" He said, "Sure." He said, "The first hole is an HTH hole." I said, "I don't know what that means." He said, "It means hit till happy." I hooked one to the left, the second shot, and then I hit it right down the center, not very far from where John Pittman was. Grace is what we need, not what we deserve. John Pittman graced my life all during the time that he was at Brookwood. Grace is what we need but do not deserve. God's grace is a saving grace. For by grace are you saved. Grace means salvation completely apart from any works or any merit on our part. My salvation and your salvation, our salvation as God's people, is offered without anything we have done. Grace is God's unmerited favor. Salvation is God's gift, said so well by Sharon to the children. God's gift to a lost world. The work of salvation was completed at the cross. God's gift of his Son to die for each of us is the work of God, the saving work of God. It is a finished work. You can't add anything at all to what God has done through his marvelous grace. You can add absolutely nothing. And you don't need to do anything to be saved other than to come in faith and trust to ask God in Christ to come into your life. Julia Johnston writes a beautiful hymn, and it goes like this. It's going to be our closing hymn, and I didn't know that. You did well, Kelly. I guess great minds think in the same direction. Marvelous grace of our loving Lord, grace that exceeds our sin and our guilt. Yonder on Calvary's mount outpoured, there where the blood of the Lamb was spilt. Grace, grace, God's grace. Grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, grace, God's grace. Grace that is greater than all our sin. And her closing verse is this. Marvelous, infinite, matchless grace, freely bestowed on all who believe, all who are longing to see his face, will you this moment his grace receive? You see, for every Christian, every Christian who has repented of his or her sins and who has trusted Christ as Lord and Savior and invited him into their life, we need to be reminded that you and I, that all of us, are sinners saved by grace. We are sinners saved by grace. you and I have received God's grace, what he did for us that we could never do for ourselves. We sang about it, amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. So God's grace is a saving grace. It is also a sustaining grace. In May of 1966, when I came to, and Ruth and I visited here to meet with Dr. Nelson and meet this fine church, in this same conversation, Doug, in the office, Ruth wasn't even in that conversation. If she had been, she would have corrected me. But Dr. Nelson said, well, we want you to come and join us, Bryant. And he'd already told me what my job description was, do everything he didn't want to do. And I did a lot of that. I also learned where every ice cream machine was in every hospital in the city of Birmingham. He loved ice cream. He said to me, Bryant, your salary, would you like to know what that's going to be? I said, that'd be nice. He said, your salary is going to be $5,800. This was in May of 1966. And $400 for the retirement. He said, what do you think? I said, well, I was thinking a little bit more, Dr. Nelson. I nearly blew my opportunity right then. I nearly fouled up a wonderful, wonderful opportunity. And then he said to me, we're going to pay you $5,800 salary and $400 retirement. I stood up real quick and walked over and offered my hand, and I said, that's $5,800 and $400 is exactly what I was looking for, Dr. Nelson. Boy, I retrieved that right quick. I got the offer back. I nearly fouled up. God's ultimate purpose for us as sinners saved by grace is that we might glorify him by our living. That we might know, let people know what it's like to be saved by grace. That our redemption and our salvation is that we might live in his grace. Dr. Frank Stagg, in his book, New Testament Theology, says that the grace of God was embodied in Christ. And as we have invited Christ into our lives, we are to embody the grace of God. That his grace is embodied in us. As Christians, you and I who are redeemed are to let grace be the forefront of our lives. Paul reminds us in 2 Corinthians 5 when he says that when you're in Christ, that's what he called the Christian. When you're in Christ, you are a new creation. The King James says you're a new creature. That doesn't sound too good. But the new creation that you are in Christ. And then the scripture, and Paul also says that we are his workmanship created in Christ. We do good works to glorify our God. We live in such a way that we honor him. There's a beautiful hymn written by Francis Havergal. It reads like this. Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Take my hands and let them move at the impulse of thy love. Take my feet and let them be swift and beautiful for thee. Take my voice and let me sing always only for my King. Take my silver and my gold, not a mite would I withhold. Take my moments and my days, let them flow in endless praise. Take my will and make it thine, it shall be no longer mine. Lord, I give my life to thee, thine forevermore to be. Lord, I give my life to thee, thine forevermore to be. That is what we are to do as we live by grace. That God uses your voices. You do something every Sunday that a lot of these folks can't do. And you're so very important. These people who play the instruments, they're not a bunch of us who can do that. In fact, there's not any of us except one that's here. You know, God wants us to be used as instruments of His grace in the living of life. God graced my life by giving me the opportunity to be Dr. Nelson's associate for nearly 3 years. And we're to live out His grace. You and I are to live out the words of this wonderful hymn in the name of Christ. We're to be bearers of His grace. God's amazing grace is our promise that we live our lives in the best of times and in the worst of times. And we face difficulties and problems and heartache in the presence of God's grace living in our lives. We as Christians are not promised immunity from sickness and suffering and tragedy. In fact, sometimes we wonder how godly people can go through as much as many times you have been through. And we're not immune from difficulties and heartache and tragedy and all of the bad things that can come in life. But God does promise His presence. God does promise His peace to help us to face the hard times in life. Listen to Amazing Grace from verse 3. Through many dangers, toils, and snares I have already come. 'Tis grace hath brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. That is God's resounding promise to us. His grace sustains us and empowers us and supports us and encourages us. His grace strengthens us and assures us. So it's a sustaining grace. A saving grace and a sustaining grace, but it's also a sufficient grace. God's grace is enough for every situation you and I can ever face. It is not beyond God's grace and power to deal with. Charles Swindoll, in a book entitled The Grace Awakening, said it this way: where sin increased, grace abounded all the more. Grace overshadowed sin. Where sin was finite, grace was infinite. Where sin was colossal, grace was super colossal. Where sin abounded, grace did super abound. That is God's power in our lives. God's amazing grace is more than sufficient. Sufficient enough to redeem us through the death of His Son. Sufficient enough to change our sinful lives. Sufficient enough to sustain us as we live and serve others for Him. Sufficient enough to carry us through life and death to be with Him forever. Ephesians 3:20 is a marvelous verse right across from where Paul says, "For by grace you saved." He says on verse 20, "Now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us." Dr. Warren Wiersbe says it like this: He is able to do all, above all, abundantly above all, exceedingly abundantly above all. God is able to do through His marvelous grace what we haven't even thought of yet. He is that powerful. His grace is more than sufficient. I recently read a book given to me by a friend, and the book was entitled Safe in the Storm. And the subtitle was The Grace of God in the Midst of Cancer. The man's name who wrote the book was Stephen B. Hatcher, 30 years an attorney in Orlando, Florida. And he's a cancer survivor. And he's sharing his experiences with prayer partners in his church. And here's what he says about grace. Yes, we are weathering some storms, but God is greater than what we face. And we are learning that more and more. I said to a friend who I know is praying for me, "If your God is not big enough to handle what life is throwing at you, then you have the wrong God." And then he said, "Mine is big enough." And then he said, "Remember that He does love you. Remember He does listen. And remember, he does act. He is big enough. Our God is indeed big enough. He is the giver of amazing, matchless, marvelous grace. Grace that has brought salvation to hundreds upon thousands. To any person who has trusted Christ, any person who this day will trust Christ, who does not know him as Savior, he will save you and transform your life. It is grace sufficient to carry you through life and death and to see you safely home. The fourth stanza of Amazing Grace goes like this. The Lord has promised good to me, his word my hope secure. He will my shield and portion be as long as life endures. And then one of my favorite hymns about grace is a hymn in our Baptist hymnal that's entitled, Oh, That Will Be Glory, written by Charles H. Gabriel in 1900. And the second stanza reads like this. When by the gift of his infinite grace, I am accorded in heaven a place, just to be there and to look on his face, will through the ages be glory for me. Oh, that will be glory for me, glory for me, glory for me. When by his grace I shall look on his face, that will be glory for me. And so it will be for all of us who name him as our Lord and Savior.